Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men TV and the Red Men podcast. I'm Paul Machin. Chris Pajak joins me and Ross Chandley as well.
Yeah,
shock.
We're bubbled up, innit, lad?
Yeah, we're very nicely, comfortably bubbled at the moment, so it's great. Yes, we'll dive straight into it. Obviously, we're going to be talking about coping without Virgil van Dijk. Yeah.
Just in life, not even footy.
Yeah, I know, absolutely. I was looking at some photos of him for a thumbnail before yesterday, and it just made me really sad. Just got a bit like,
I didn't realise he was my rock.
Yeah.
Just in life. My constant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely he could be the fourth in this bubble. He's not going anywhere or doing anything, is he?
I don't think he'd want to be, that's the thing.
No, that's a shame.
Like, we would want him
to
be.
You don't know that until you ask, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Kick-off questions this week I asked on
questions?
Twitter. Questions?
Questions.
No. Mm. I asked for non-footy, but Christian G, who's Christian G00, clever, on Twitter, because it removes the ability for me to say that, oh, it's the 2000s.
What if his surname's just Goo?
Christian Goo! It might be, absolutely.
It could be.
Yeah. He says, sorry, but got a good footy one. We are given a penalty in the 90th minute of the Champions League final this season in Istanbul. Senseless pardon. The result
sounds like a Dave Gill question.
The result is 0-0, but a current Premier League referee has to take it. You can choose one out of Coote, Atkinson, or Moss to take it.
Moss.
He'd fucking eat the ball, wouldn't he?
I think he cared. He'd care about scoring it.
Yeah,
for his own self-importance.
Yeah.
Whereas the others, I don't feel like would. I think the others would just properly screw us over for being Liverpool.
It's a good possibility.
Aren't they all like that though?
Probably.
Yeah. I've just googled what David Coote looks like, and I realise I'm falling foul of the pre-Moneyball era of judging people by, you know, in terms of sporting ability by their looks.
Does he look like a Tory?
Well, they all referees do in some way, shape or form, don't they? Tories are sex pests, like, but the I'm not saying they are, I'm just saying that some of them may or may not look like, and I'm not going to name which ones do or don't. But on the subject of David Coote, he does look like...
Show me.
Choose your next words carefully.
Yeah,
he
looks more athletic than Martin Atkinson is what I'm driving at.
And then just school buses.
Just to remind myself, we're going with John Moss as well. I don't know.
Mossy, as he's now being called.
Mossy. The Moster.
He's basically going to take one like Julian Dix.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to be fit to take a penalty.
Well, he's 50 years old, Chris.
Yeah.
So even if he wants to take one like Julian Dix, he's not going to generate the power anymore, is a concern, because that's the first thing that
goes. I don't know. Mossy's right boot.
I don't know.
It's famed in the corridors of Casa de Pajac.
David Coote isn't as well backed on the old Wikipedia, so I don't know as much information about him. It's basically just got a career. It says he started refereeing as a 16-year-old, says a couple of places he refed, and then basically talks about the mistakes that he's made.
Yeah. To be fair, like, if he was on the VAR or refereeing at the same time, he'd give it whatever, wouldn't he, Coote?
Yeah.
Doesn't it matter if it crosses the line? He'd still get his computer out and say it went in.
Yeah. Well, it's... This is saying he's 65. That can't be right. That's a different team. Oh, it's his cricket. Oh, it's his dad. I see. Right. So he's probably quite young if that's the case. I'd probably go with Coote.
I can't after this weekend.
No. So you go and
Atkinson.
Atkinson, Moss.
The Mossinator.
The Mossinator. start. Okay, cool. And Liam underscore Lee Ghoul 96 underscore asks, and I imagine one of the people in this room will have a real opinion on this for no reason whatsoever. Is a Twix a biscuit or a chocolate bar?
Oh, no. I don't know is the honest answer here, because it's got a biscuit in it, clearly, yeah. But like, I suppose it's a biscuit. It's got a biscuit in it.
Yeah, it's mad. If it's
a digestive's still a biscuit for having chocolate on it, and
caramel
digestive's still a biscuit for having chocolate on
it. Isn't it all about shape and quantities, though? Because, like, you know, that digestive is more, the quantity you're talking is more biscuits to chocolate, isn't it? Therefore, that's a piece of biscuit.
I don't know. No. Honestly, and I'm not going to get involved in it.
Don't get sucked in.
Don't rise to this, it's a biscuit.
Don't get drawn in. Yes, right, you can interact with the podcast if you're on YouTube right now, live, by sending us some questions and thoughts and comments and reacting to the things that we do discuss. We are going to be talking about...
two biscuits, actually.
It's two biscuits. How we're feeling post-Derby and after a couple of days to kind of digest it all and the things that have fallen out since, how we're feeling about it all. And also, Dale Johnson from ESPN's done a great thread on... Well, I say great. It's not great if you really want to be... if you want to be angry about it.
No, great because it explains something really well to you.
Yeah, it explains how the handball rule affects the VAR decisions in that game. And then we're going to talk about how we're coping without Virgil van Dijk, how we're likely to cope as well.
Do you find it in the chocolate bar section of the shop, though?
Oh, no, exactly. That's the problem. But
doesn't mean the shop's right.
Yeah, if it got moved to there in 10 years' time...
Would you argue with it?
People would just say... We would, because people love to argue against change. Yeah. But... if you moved it, I think the next generation would accept it as a biscuit. But it's a bold move. I wonder if there's like tax exemption laws that could...
If it's fully covered in chocolate, it can't go down as no VAT. So like a digestive will, and a chocolate digestive won't have VAT on it. But if you fully cover a digestive with chocolate, you'll be paying VAT on it.
So if you chose not to cover the bottom of the Twix...
That's why Jaffa Cake's a biscuit, not a chocolate cake, isn't it?
I'm not sure on the. I'm not sure on the. On
that's
that.
It's,
I mean, it's says cake. It's a cake.
It's a biscuit.
It says it's a cake.
I know.
And if they're telling you it's a cake, I don't care what the supermarkets say.
I can still eat them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, I'm not getting drawn into this.
Yeah. Okay, we nearly did. We're going to be talking about all those things in a moment. But first, we have got Ross and I've got a brand new book. It's out right now, and there's some wonderful details on that. Here. The second Redmen TV book, Champions of Everything, is available for sale right now. It comes in two editions, the standard edition and the special edition, which comes signed with a custom message of your choice and with a limited edition Redmen TV sticker pack as well. The book is huge. It is A4 size and it is chock full of insight. Photographs from around the world following the mighty Reds, who were reigning European champions, who won the Super Cup, who became champions of the world, and then capped it all off with a 19th league title, becoming champions of England. The book looks at the highs, lows, absolute insanity and bitterness of rival fans, and some of the craziness from our own fan base as well along the way. It is available now on the Redmen TV store. Get involved.
Yeah,
we're back.
He's just Googled it and gone, oh, right, it is a cake. Jaffa cake.
I mean, what were you thinking? Were you looking for like a subtitle on the box? Was it just the Jaffa biscuits?
Let's read it.
Because Jaffa cakes are biscuit-sized cakes. The product classification as a cake or biscuit was part of a VAT tribunal, so that's where it started.
Oh, I know.
In 1991. Yeah. So they used to be called, they used to advertise it as a biscuit and have to change it to cake for VAT reasons. So we're all right.
Right. But more accurately...
it's a cake.
Thank you. Right, so okay, we're gonna dive into it. Billy Daffer.
Are you on to the fact that Subway's bread has now not been classified as bread?
Oh wow.
In I think it's Ireland, because there's just too much sugar in it to actually classify it as bread. Wow.
And a footlong is not a footlong.
And when Chris Brook breaks it, too many steak knives. That was a niche story. Billy Tavos in the comments saying, this is biscuit chat, this is how we're coping, to be honest. Yeah, absolutely. Let's dive into it. How are we feeling post-derby? The Toffee TV lads were in yesterday and I just couldn't bring myself to be in conversation with them because I just can't... I can't be arsed. I don't know. I'm okay. You know what I mean? I'll move on. The IX game's looming, Chris, so that'll be me focus from probably the end of this podcast. But, like, not sad, disappointed or whatever. Yeah, I don't know.
I just think that during the whole, like, ever since the derby on Saturday, it's like they've won and we lost, and that's not true.
Yeah.
And that's the mad thing that I can't get my head around. They were top of the table.
Yeah.
And they're absolutely made up with a draw.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and Towns. Yeah, and they're, which they're entitled to be. But you're right. It's all the other things. And again, this is my own daft fault for being on social media. But it's all the... It's because... And this is what we have to get used to. It's because Liverpool have gone back to the top of the tree. And because they're everywhere and they're all pervading and we're in everyone's face all of a sudden and all of me, everyone's just... loads of people are just wound up by the existence of Liverpool more than they have been for years. So it's everyone having an opinion on Liverpool-related things and how, like...
Oh, but everyone has an opinion on everything.
Oh, exactly. But I don't mind it when it's not things I don't care about. when it's things that I do care about, it winds me up. So, like, I saw, like, our good mate Flav going on about Klopp's line about Virgil van Dijk, about waiting like a good wife when the husband's in prison or whatever, and taking umbrage with, like, a deep-rooted sexism and using that expression or something, and you're just like... Life's just exhausting.
Have you said that before, though, that line?
Maybe. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I've said it before.
Yeah, but it's, again...
About Ox.
Yeah, it's just the fucking... It's the... Life's just fucking miserable enough without loads of other people pouring all over the ins and outs of everything you do around your football club.
I kind of get why Everton fans are happy. If we conceded a legitimate goal in the last couple of minutes of a game and it turned out to be a draw, I think I'd be, you know... Just reasons to be made up, but I think you're right, you know.
We had it when Sander Vestervel kicked the ball off Don Hutchison and it crossed the line in the last minute. Yeah. They were robbed of a fucking last minute winner in a Merseyside derby. Yeah. Absolutely fucking robbed. And you might be slightly too young to remember that until I was out in town, like in the 147 pack full of people and yeah, it was mad. So I get it. I've experienced that, like, having it clawed back from the brink because of a dodgy refereeing decision before. But no, you are right as well.
But yeah, and they will have a couple of days, and they'll probably do the same. You know, they obviously don't have European football midweek, so they've got a lot longer to stew on it than we have.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but it's true, isn't it? And they won't be happy with the Pickford thing. You know, I spoke to an Everton fan yesterday who said, you know, we got away with one for all the good that Pickford did. You know, a stupid challenge and the goal at the end, which should have been legitimate, he makes another mistake. Mm. So they've got their own problems to concentrate well on what Liverpool are doing, but. I saw another tweet that said, you know, they're made up with a draw, but that's the best team that they've had in the 10 plus years that they played us. Probably the best chance of winning the derby. So they've got to be happy with the draw.
Yeah, and to be fair, like, there was a golfing class between the two teams.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were lucky to get a draw, and that's that. And we're a miles better side than them. And now that they've come up and faced us with their best ever side, they've realised it, I think, deep down. And let them have the fun. It's absolutely fine. And what I don't like about it all, or what I do like actually in some ways, is the lack of self-awareness that Everton fans have around all this stuff. Because for years and years, the shout is, oh, that's cop-out behaviour. They get four wins under the belt in a run. Four wins.
Yeah.
And they do exactly the same stuff.
Yeah, because the Scousers.
Yeah, because they're the same people as we are.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And they think in similar ways. We just happen to disagree on one major thing.
The game itself is kind of done. You know what I mean? Look, it is what it is. And there's no... The cry arson about it kind of... I just find a bit tiresome because it's making us look like fucking entitled pricks. You know, in some instances. And there's plenty of reasons plenty of things to complain about. And to be rightly annoyed and what have you about. What I don't kind of like in the fallout to this is there's some legitimate points being made and they're being laughed off.
What about this?
By whataboutism, but also because they just don't. Because people are going, oh, it's them bleating Scousers again. Them, you know, Liverpool complain. Liverpool asking questions of the VAR. And everyone's going, well, we've had bad VAR decisions. Well, fucking question them then. Well, maybe ask some deeper questions about how it's being used and blah, 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 rather than be accepting. And that's a very fine balance between if your complaints are being written off as being whinges, then it undermines when you try to do good things.
Yes. I'm not going to kick up as much of a fuss if Burnley get a VAR decision because, you know, I'm not as passionate about it as our Liverpool job. Everybody should be on the same side, you know, fighting against officials and the VAR decisions, you know, and that what you say there, Liverpool moan about it, like, all fans are in agreement of the same thing. The problem is, and I said this on the Rant League yesterday, it's the banter stuff on the internet. Banter doesn't exist between other fans on the internet. Banter exists between mates. I can make a joke and you'll both know what I mean. That then folds into everyone else's opinion. So they'll see something on the internet and go, oh, that's out of order, that shit. Therefore, every other opinion after that, which might have some, you know, legitimate reasons behind it, is therefore just wiped away because it's a Liverpool fan or it's this or it's that.
The thing that got me, I was talking to you about this yesterday, Chris. I was in the cafe at lunchtime. There's an Evertonian working behind the counter and the radio was on. It said, and Jordan Pickford will escape retrospective, you know, a ban or whatever, punishment or whatever for his challenge on Virgil van Dijk in Liverpool. And it was, the headline was phrased just enough to you get the word Liverpool in, and to put the slant on it, like Liverpool are seeking Jordan Pickford gets this fucking ban, and it just triggers this lad. So he then starts ranting and raving and shouting about how all Liverpool are all rats, and how it's just because it's Liverpool they can't take a decision going against them, and it's all because of them. They want this, and they, you know, like, and it was like fucking hell, like, you know, it was like a proper, blindsided by the anger and aggression that this kind of thing stoked up, because again, it's just seen as like a I get it. I don't expect, I'm sure, because we've defended Liverpool players in fucking plenty of situations in the past, because you're naturally going to bat for your own team or what have you. But it's this thing of like it's Liverpool, like somehow Liverpool are in charge of the fucking league, and like Liverpool want a set of rules that are different for them. I don't think there's anything wrong with asking the question if someone commits a serious foul play on a football field, whether that should be looked at, because we've seen that happen in other instances before. But I don't like the idea that like Liverpool are trying to have the rules all made towards themselves or whatever, which is how it's kind of being spun off the back. But again, it's the news cycle, isn't it, Chris? Give it a day or two. Champions League's back tonight, and people will be, there'll be something.
There's
that happens,
absolutely nothing wrong with Liverpool asking the question. And to go back to your kind of way of talking about it, Liverpool aren't going to ask the question after Burnley get robbed of a VAR decision. Yeah. It's not in their best interest. Ultimately, Liverpool are going to do things that are in Liverpool's best interest.
But if Burnley asks the question,
also, they're also going to do things that are right for football.
Yeah.
This isn't one where you can go, yeah, they're wrong. This is one where you go, oh, they're right. Why didn't we do that when we got robbed?
Yeah.
Like, and then you go, why didn't my club fucking stand up for itself? Isn't that what we should be doing here if you've been robbed?
Liverpool have probably not put themselves in a great position for getting other Premier League clubs and whatever on side with them, given the current, you know, the things we've gone through with the Project Big Picture.
Player safety, though, isn't it, at the end of the day? And there's a similar situation, which I think has been brought up, is Lo Celso against Chelsea. And the guy who was on VAR happened to be the same guy that was on it on Saturday as well. But it's the protection of players. It's hard for Liverpool, because how often do you see a similar incident to what happened with Pickford and Van Dijk? You don't. It's a rarity. So it doesn't get brought up every week, but there will be VAR decisions that need explaining.
Here's the thing I was thinking about this the other day. I don't think Jordan Pickford's done himself any favours in this. And I don't think that it's right for people to... I've seen people, again, ire around like people's reaction and journalists talking about him, what have you. And we said this about the referee, but I think it's just as true with Jordan Pickford. I'm not going to sit here and demand an apology from fucking Jordan Pickford, because fucking who am I and who gives a fuck? But I don't think he's done himself any favours. I think, you know, you look at like, they keep referencing like the Son tackle on Andre Gomez. Like, I'm pretty certain Son was very apologetic about that. I'm sure, in my memory, I'm sure he apologised about it. Jordan Pickford comes out and goes, all he has to do is go, I'm sorry.
Bullshit. Why couldn't he just say it to Virgil van Dijk?
Well, yeah. Okay, yeah.
He told him to say sorry, didn't he?
Yeah. Why has it got to be sourced on social media for the fans to see it? Crock of shit.
No, no,
but if he said sorry, and I don't know whether he has or hasn't, it's irrelevant whether he puts it on social media.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But what I'm saying is, I, whether he does or not, I'm not asked whether he does or doesn't, but I'm talking about being sympathetic towards people's causes and stuff, because what you're seeing is people saying that Jordan Pickford should be accountable, and people saying that, you know, almost encouraging kickoffs and what have you about it. That these things are, our anger is always undercut by humanity and by people just going, holding hand up and going, I fucked up. Maybe he doesn't give a fuck. Maybe he's not asked. Maybe he's happy to be at the centre of a shitstorm. Maybe deep down, if he's seen that Evertonians are quite happy with him doing that, maybe he wants to curry a bit of favour by, you know, tapping into the sort of more primal tribal side of Evertonians. But it is one of those situations.
Or maybe he said sorry, and the abuse that he gets on Twitter means that he doesn't go on, so he's not giving a second fucking thought.
Could be a whole host.
You
whole,
know what I mean?
It's like, one of those things.
Why should he apologise for people that give him shit constantly on fucking social media? You shouldn't strive to live your life by what other people think of you.
Yeah, no.
And if he's happy with it, the courage of his convictions, that's fine for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh yeah.
I'm not going to like him any more or less for him putting an apology out. The fucking thing was done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, maybe his phone's on the top of the cupboard and he can't reach it.
Yeah, but it just goes back to all these things. You see, it's been stirred up and people are fucking dead angry. I always find it funny that it's in the absence of, when you don't have communication and you don't know the facts or the feelings or how other people are feeling about this, people fill the gaps with their own anger and their own experience on stuff. And again, it does an interesting follow-on from the referee and stuff. Like, again, if David Coote just comes out and goes, I'm dead sorry, I just made a massive mistake there. I strive my best, but it's a pressure-filled environment, and sometimes I make mistakes. We'd be annoyed, but we'd probably go, all right, well, he's just a fella at the end of the day. Whereas people. Again, I just have to do. Just, what does he look like? Who is he? Never heard him before. People find out more. People know more about David Coote yesterday and today than they did the days before, because they've had to go and seek out more information on him because of the way it is. And I've no idea, I don't even know what his voice sounds like. I don't know, you know, I didn't know what he looked like, again, all those things and so that. It's, yeah, accountability is an interesting thing in this. Just to dive back, Connor S sent a super chat in of $7.99 Australian dollars. Biscuits go soft when they get stale, cakes go hard. I don't know, yeah, apropos of something, but there you go. Dale Johnson, Chris, you highlighted this to us. Dale Johnson, ESPN on Twitter, put a fantastic thread together about how the VAR is being implemented based off the new handball rules.
I said this during the comms.
You did. You asked the question, certainly. And it's interesting because, as he points out in the thread, both the VAR offside decisions, the Virgil van Dijk one leading to the foul by Jordan Pickford and the Sadio Mane one leading to Jordan Henderson's disallowed goal, are both correct given how the technology is currently used, and also how the handball rule has changed, which means that lines are not being drawn from armpits anymore. It's the upper arm. You can now technically play the ball with your upper arm.
Because you can score a goal with it.
Exactly. It wasn't maybe what we were all looking to hear, but he cleared up, and I thought it was wonderful him saying, it's been this all season, this is just the first example of it in a major match.
Yeah, and it's annoying and it's frustrating because, yeah, that rule has changed, and we're the first ones to sort of die by that rule, as it were. But you can see it, and he talks really well about the rule, and he doesn't like put his opinion in it. He just essentially gives you the facts. So it's worth sharing, actually. Maybe we could put the link in the description in a bit. And then it basically just shows you exactly how it's done and how it's applied. Now, the rule as is, when it's been applied correctly, there is what they're saying,
yeah.
Essentially is what Dale's saying. Whether you agree with the rule or not, the issue, but it has been applied correctly, and you can. And then he talks about some of the, like, the still frame stuff about when the ball's being played and all that type of stuff. He talks a little bit about the future
that
of it
is
as well.
One of the complaints about this is the frame rate, and it's that how accurately can you place the ball from the moment the pass is made. And what he's basically saying is there's like three frames that are used, and none of them are necessarily accurate because the actual perfect one could be between those three frames. And it's funny because the most people be like, what's that mean?
But when you're video editing, you can tell quite easily.
When you're trying to sound sync and you try to sync up two things, the amount of times when you sync up two audio tracks, even with a clap, and there's just a slight variation between them, and you can never truly get them to properly match up is exactly that thing. I just thought it's a really interesting thing, is that Ross, that it explains the flaws of the system in quite a clear cut way, and again in terms of using what allowance is being given. I think there isn't an allowance given.
He said because we spoke about this on the final word show, didn't we? And I thought there was an allowance, but he's cleared that up and said no, the FA applied for an allowance, and was it FIFA or UEFA rejected it? Mm-hmm. Now there is a league around Europe using the allowance system.
It's the Dutch league that's got an allowance,
but we aren't.
Yeah, it doesn't make me feel any better. No. Being completely honest, but. And this boils down to what we were talking about yesterday, I think, of the communication between, you know, the referees or the officials and whatever else. and this is no disrespect to him, but it shouldn't take a journalist to explain to fans. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know, probably players on top of that as well, what the rules are. You know, had that David Coote come, or David Coote or representative or the official, whatever, I said, like, listen, this is the rules. I'd feel better. Do you know what I mean? Because it's not down to him, is it? I understand the ruling now. I understand the fact that, you know, we've fouled short of it, and there'll be many situations where other clubs have had different situations, and they've had, you know, Sheffield United was one of them. I think with the goal that was disallowed, like, it was a mistake. They've had one, you know, where it will happen to every team probably. But why can't someone else explain that to us? Why is the responsibility? Well, the responsibility isn't on him, but he's deemed it, and he does it every week.
That's what
as well.
You're talking about. You spoke about the final word show, didn't you? About the Aussie guy who's now a ref, and he's been a ref in the Championship for about 2 years now. That guy, and that video's gone around again, hasn't it?
This morning, last night, and stuff.
And you know, all it would have taken is for the referee to stand in the middle and go, his shoulder's offside, and that's it.
Yeah,
that's true, isn't it? And again, it comes back to whether it's an investigation off his own back to find out this, you know, which is good journalism, to be fair, you know, it's fine for journalists to do that, but it's whether he's been briefed to do that. He's asked the question, they go, no, do us a favour and put this out.
But do you remember when Carragher did it at the start of last season on all this stuff, and Monday Night Footy did one of these big shows, and everyone watched it, and everyone was like, okay, and because Carragher had been briefed with Neville and a load of other people, and then they all spoke about it for the first like 5-6 weeks of the season. The difference is there was a rule change, and no one's really spoken about that.
Yeah.
And whether that's I think it's an oversight personally, in that they've changed the handball rule and then gone, oh fuck, this affects this. And then no one's been briefed, kind of thing. But then the referees don't need to brief anyone. It's in the rule.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The point was made by Dale that If the rules were the same as last season, both of them are, it's borderline. But in some ways, but like man, he's probably onside, because if you go from the if it's from the armpit, he's onside. But you're right. It's annoying that it has to be done in practice, because again, when I'm looking at it, and we've all done it, we've all committed to it, and there's been days of analysis on it. Match of the Day have gone to it. It's not just us, it's not just us being reactionary fans, just giving our opinions without any knowledge backing it up. Like, professionals have gone on professional produced television programmes around the world and all gone, this is baffling, I've got no idea why it is. But when you understand the implementation of the rule, it actually does make more sense. It had to be. That was the only reasonable explanation when you looked at it, because the way the lines were being drawn, you could only be counting Mane's shoulder effectively as counting towards being offside. But that's why it's dead annoying, because we've ended up being the
guinea pigs.
You know, and not really, because of course everyone has been. It's the first time that it's cropped up so it looks like us, and it's robbed us. It hasn't robbed us, because if the rules are the rules, then we're not robbed. It's the rules. But it certainly feels that way, because it's like,
my issue now isn't with VAR and the application of it. My issue is with the fucking rule.
I've used this example before when I played playing in a snooker league and won a game on a black ball with my opponent potted the white off the black, and he thought it was just a respot. But the guy I was with had the rules and was like, no, it means you've lost the game. So I celebrated. That guy was, oh, no, it's fine. And he thought, and him not understanding the rule changed his experience of the thing. And in those situations, imagine that had happened. You've got this. We go into football, most of us hardcore football fans, lifelong footy fans who watch it religiously week in, week out. We pride ourselves on actually understanding the fundamentals of the game. You know, so when someone comes to us and asks us, we get to go, you don't understand the offside rule. Well, we didn't, none of us understood the offside rule. Not a single one of us understood what the offside rule was meant to be. And that's really annoying because, it's just like someone coming in and rewriting a character on you and your major favourite TV show in the middle of a series is,
yeah. The important really point annoying. There, or annoying point rather, is the Premier League is arguably the best league in the world. And VAR's been here for, what, two seasons now, or two seasons and a bit, maybe. Why is it being almost trialled still? You know, these should have practice.
Is it only one full year? Was it only last year?
One full year, sorry. Last
and we
year.
Had the practices before that, so we had the FA Cup, didn't we?
But no team should be a guinea pig for any of these situations. It should be, you know, okay, this season's been different because there was no pre-season, but, you know, surely there should be, like, mock games in the off-season. So referees know about it. The fans can be educated on it.
It's like if you played a computer. You're teaching someone how to play a computer game, and you're right. I've told you all the buttons, and then you run through, and you fucking score, and you go, oh, you move the keeper with this button. It's just
it's like playing computer games with you.
It's been the rules the whole time. How do you do that? I'll tell you after the match. The rules, this has been the rule all season, but it's like anything, it's like if a tree falls in the woods kind of thing. It's just we've not noticed that it's been there, but that's fucking stupid. Somebody's made a big mistake there by not, as you say, Chris, like identifying that at the start of the season. Here's the new season, here's the new rules, here's what the new rules mean. That sounds like a really good piece of content that would get you lots of views and probably maybe drive a little bit of side income for your business or whatever. Like, it's
got time this afternoon, haven't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Shocking, really. We've had a just going back at it, we had a super chat coming from LFC Aaron, actually $4.99. Saying Everton fans saying we're carrying on too much about Pickford. Remember how much they cried when Sonage and Gomez, hypocrites. No, I know, and Aaron's right, and look, we all have this, don't we? We've all got our own laundry list of complaints about things that have happened in the past, but it goes back to just to dive back to that subject briefly because you touched upon it. The whataboutism does no one any favours. It's tiring, isn't it? It's tiring and it stops us from actually making positive changes because nobody wants change. Nobody. I say this all the time. No one wants equality. People just want retribution for having not had been equal in the past. Well, we suffered from this in this regard, and I don't want to see there's a wider issue, but it's like, you know, if you fell foul of a rule, part of you kind of wants other people to fall foul of it so they can go through the shit that you went through with it. You don't necessarily want other people. It takes a very magnanimous human being to try to save other people from your own pitfalls.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah,
fuck that. No, I want Everton. Doesn't suit your character anyway, shape or form. I want Everton next week to get loads of goals chalked off for shoulder offsides.
Yeah.
It's the way it is. But then equally, I want Liverpool to score shoulder goals. Yeah. I want Bobby to be the first one that fucking really means it.
Yeah. from 30 yards out, bang. And he's the most likely to do it if you think about it. But yeah, really interesting stuff. I would highly recommend checking out Dale Johnson. It's Dale Johnson ESPN on Twitter, and I'm sure we'll put the link in the comments or below or what have you. The knock-on effect of most of this stuff leads us to no Virgil van Dijk.
But also, sorry, before you move on, did you see the computer stuff for the VAR that they're going to try and get it automated and with the fucking heat maps and all that type of stuff?
Well, at least if you can put automate, because the moment it's like that episode of South Park where Cartman pretends to be a robot. That's what VAR is at the moment. It's like some fellas in cardboard robot costume just going, VAR says incorrect decision, while their hands are shaking on the mouse trying to put the lines in the right place. It's humans masquerading as technology at the moment. Whereas, I mean, look, if you've got, I mean, Chris, you watch tennis. The Hawkeye stuff in tennis, they get it wrong. It gets it wrong every now and again. But I suspect that people are a lot more forgiving of it, generally speaking, because it's more goal line technology in that regard. If it goes wrong, it's annoying, but it's right so often that
Yeah, there's room for error, isn't there? I suppose the easier thing with stuff like tennis and cricket is it's a still camera, and it's very obvious. You know, it's not fucking 70-yard width of a pitch or whatever it is and all that type of stuff. And there's not loads of bodies flying in and
around. You can be offside at any point in 50, 60 yards of a football field,
and you having be the far side to the cameras,
and having something in line with that. It's not, you're right. It's like cricket, and it's all fixed, isn't it?
So it makes it much easier for them and stuff like that. And you know, I think it's much easier for people like the umpires in tennis because they've got a really good view of everything. Because guess what? They're fixed, and everything's right in front of them, and they know where they're supposed to be looking. So
giant referees in football sat on top of the stand.
No.
I'd have a laser.
Thought I had it for a second.
A laser that's tagged to the last defender's boot and just moves up and down with the last defender.
I think Robin's got a pair of them for school shoes.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, okay, Virgil van Dijk.
The batteries run out fairly quick.
Look, here's the thing, Chris, for all of the, you know, moving forward from the derby, it's done now. You know, regardless, who's out? Look, we're asked. There's not going to be any punishment for Pickford. I just don't see it as important now, because you can punish Pickford all you want for two things. It doesn't bring Virgil van Dijk back, and Everton are worse with him in goal anyway. So it's actually a punishment to leave him in the side, if I'm being perfectly honest. But Virgil's out for the season. He might be out for the start of next season if we're unlucky with that. We're going to have to deal with it. Do you ascribe to the notion that Liverpool are fucked because Virgil van Dijk is not around?
There's a part of me that thinks we are,
yeah.
But there's also the part with the brain that goes, you know what? We've got loads of boss players here. Yeah. My issue, and I think everybody's issue here, is probably my concern is more about the fitness of the other centre-halves. Mm-hmm. I think if you said to me, look, Gomez and Matip are going to be fit and available all season, then I'd go, we're not fucked.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily that we are fucked because Virgil's gone, but it's fucked by proxy, because I think we'll have more than just Virgil gone at some points during the season, and at those points it's going to be a real struggle for us. The rumours are Hendo's in line for a centre-back berth and stuff as well, I've heard. Not just Fabinho, which is a bit of a mad one. But yeah, it's going to be very, very difficult. But I don't see that we drop to 60 points this season because of no Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah.
And I don't think the league was going to be won on... I don't think you needed 95 plus to win the league this season.
Yeah.
So we're still going to be there or thereabouts, and I still fancy us for the title.
There's a point you've been making for a while, Ross, and it feeds out of the transfer window. And it wasn't the problem. The problem was that we don't have enough bodies to some extent at centre-half. So, like, you lose Lovren and there's not a direct replacement been bought. So there's that feels like an obvious problem. But it wasn't just that. It's Chris mentioned it. It's the fitness things. No one's got a problem with Joe Matip. Joe Matip is an outstanding centre-half. Joe Gomez is brilliant too. And I think one of them is more injury prone than the other. I think I've said this plenty of times, I think Gomez's injury record or injury proneness is overstated, but Matip's isn't. And so we were always going into this season with that thing.
Two and a half centre-backs.
Yeah, exactly. Because you just don't know. You can't guarantee that Joe Matip will be able to put 5, 10, 15, let alone 30-odd, 34, 33 games down.
Yeah, it's difficult to be concerned at the loss of Virgil van Dijk because he's so good and world-class and not be worried about it. But at the same time, you can still be all right with the centre-backs that you've got.
Mm-hmm.
And it's already a concern because Joe Matip might not be fit for tomorrow's game.
Yeah.
To which, you know, where do you go from then? And the difficulty on top of that is getting people in. So you can't get someone in for decent money of decent quality who's going to come in, say, January time and replace Van Dijk. Because as soon as Van Dijk's back, you know, he's gone out the door. I think we've got enough in our locker, but I think what also plays into my mind is the form. So obviously, you know, we get battered 7-2 by Aston Villa is a bye, but even like towards the back end of the last season, we conceded a lot of goals.
Mm-hmm.
But those centre-backs and Joel Matip and Joe Gomez might just need a run of games behind them. And, you know, they're going to have to. They haven't got a choice at them. And it is develop a partnership, develop leadership within them to guide Liverpool on that back line. And all the stuff that Van Dijk does and the organisation of stuff, as we said yesterday, someone's going to have to step up to that. And because we haven't seen it, because Virgil van Dijk's been available the whole time, the concern was, and we joked about this yesterday, one of those two will get injured and Van Dijk will be there the whole time. Now the guy that's always fit is injured and out for a longer period.
Yeah.
you lose all those qualities that Van Dijk has, and you're trying to replace it with two lads who may or may not be fit.
The one side on this, Chris, is that Liverpool have had Virgil van Dijk all season, and we've conceded 13 goals in the first five games. There's outliers to that, and yeah, I'm not suggesting. I'm not going to sit here and suggest for a single second that Liverpool will be better. I mean, that looks two ways. Is what I'm saying is that we've not been brilliant defensively, regardless. So Virgil van Dijk hasn't been perfect. So we actually, you know, it's not a solid point, to be perfectly honest. But in addition to that, it does lead into that fearful side of things. If we were conceding 13 goals in five games with the best centre half in the world in our team, that doesn't bode especially well for what happens.
Yeah.
After that,
look, the thing that, and I'm surprised none of us have mentioned it so far, is Alisson's fitness plays a big thing into all of this, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, if Alisson comes back sooner rather than later, and you know, rumours are that he's back in training, bless you twice, that he's back in training and stuff, and if he can come back in and we can get a settled back five, they'll improve over the next 6 to 8 weeks. I think that's important to recognise, and you know, I think Jürgen might have to do something slightly different with the defence, and you know, there's a lot of talk about the high line. I'm not going to get into that. But, you know, whether that be with the midfielders protecting the defenders more or whatever, who knows? I think Liverpool have got better from the midfield and the attack this season. And by better, I mean, you know, I think Thiago's world-class and improves our midfield three. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone would argue. I think Firmino, Salah and Mane certainly look like they're playing better than they did last season, yep, or arguably the same. Plus with the addition of your Jota as well, and the integration of Minamino, there's the potential there for Bobby to get better with more rest time, mm-hmm, and our backups are better. So, look, we've taken a hit defensively, but our forward players are better, and our midfielders are better.
Yeah.
So, and if we can get the goalkeeper back in, I wonder if there's just no net difference to how good our side is.
It's an interesting point, and I mean the kind of stretch that point out to some extent is that I've seen a few people say this, just kind of go the other way. Liverpool, we need to rely a bit. Liverpool need to be a bit more clinical, I think, for this to work. But maybe there's just a degree to which we built our title success on defence, and I wouldn't like us to go back to being super porous again. But there is something to maybe the adjusting is. Okay, you either go the other way and you be a bit more defensive. You add a bit more, so you screen the midfield a bit better. You put a two man, you know, two DMs in front or whatever. Or the alternative is just go, you know what, just fuck it. All of our talent, our talent all lies at the other end of the pitch now. So let's just double down on the things that we're really good at. And I do wonder whether, because this kind of goes back to the point of we're conceding goals anyway, and this is not. There's not enough data in this to back this point up. But if you feed into Klopp's, we're going to attack the title thing this season anyway. We were always planning on being a more front foot side. We were always likely to concede a few more goals this season anyway. Yes, it adds more pressure on the front line, but just fucking go for it. Because there's no point. If you've got a cap goalie and you've got a weakened centre half, what's the point in continuing to rely on those guys? You might as well rely on the other guys.
Yeah, it's the attack is best form of defence, law, isn't it? Yeah, it's hard also because, and you won't be able to quantify this, but if you're a forward in the Premier League now, and this isn't a slight on Joe Gomez or Joe Matip, but you know, there's been so many compliments of Virgil van Dijk and what he does. Troy Deeney being one of them. Like, I know he's not there anymore, but he's like, I won't go near van Dijk because I'm going to get no change out of him. If you're a Premier League striker now, or a midfielder or a winger, whatever, you're going to go, Sam, Virgil van Dijk's not playing. And that psychological edge that gives them on Liverpool's defence means that teams will probably come out a lot more because they'll get more out of Joe Matip and Joe Gomez. And I bully them a little bit as well, probably.
Can I offer a slight crumb of solace, maybe? Mm-hmm. Is that no one ever attacks down our left-hand side. I think they might do now, and I think you'll find that Robbo's a better defender than Trent.
Yeah.
And that between Gomez and Robbo, we might be able to deal with situations slightly better than between Gomez and Trent on the right-hand side, or whoever that is.
It's possible, certainly.
Because they just avoid the left, always. And, you know, maybe that changes.
And, look, there's a point worth making, and actually it's kind of... Kenny Mugan's made the comment here saying everyone's writing us off now and actually give the players all the determination to prove them wrong. I'm going to Joe Gomez and going, this is your time, mate. This is your time. Now, you thought your time was going to be alongside Virgil van Dijk. Well, boo fucking who, it's not. Your job is to get in, get fit and reach your full potential because he's that age. This should be Joe Gomez's breakout
24,
season.
Now.
He's 23, I think 23 going 24 this year. So this is, if he's not already 24, but this is the season now. This has got to be your first season as a proper senior footballer. You're not a kid anymore. I'm not using rotation anymore. If I'm going to give you Virgil van Dijk's role, then it's up to you to own it and make sure that you feel that you belong in it. And if he does, and look, football's filled with this. We just forget the rides sometimes because, you know, we get so used to players hitting the ground running or they settle in. We've got loads of world-class players. And look, we all remember the journey, but I don't think we think about it and focus on it too much. We just presume that when someone's world-class, they were always going to be world-class. Whereas every footballer has their moment and it's their opportunity when it drops in front of them. And it's whether you hit a top in or whether you take your chance or miss it, or whether you're too scared to take the opportunity. World-class players grab those opportunities and move forward. Joe Gomez, if he backs up the talent that he's shown so far, this could be the making of Joe Gomez. If he doesn't, he won't. And Liverpool might be in shit, and they might have to deal with something. They might have to go out and find another solution. But they will. I would say Liverpool will if that happens. We've now got a few months where they've gambled on the defence. I think they took a calculated gamble because Virgil van Dijk never gets injured. So that's a pretty reasonable person to put a gamble around. And him getting a random ACL injury doesn't disprove that theory. It just proves that you can be unlucky in things. Matip is a question mark. And I think they've got all the faith in the world in Joe Gomez and maybe one or two of the young players as well. They've now got till January, I think, Chris, to prove. And I think if there is a catastrophic problem there, Liverpool will have to go.
I think, you know, if we're there or thereabouts, they won't spend, because they'll probably think more about next season and what they can do this season without them. Loads of people may disagree with me on this. I actually think Joe Gomez is better suited to a left-sided centre-half. I just don't think you'd ever play him there because it's Virgil's position. I think for what Joe and his technical ability and his speed and everything else that goes in, it's better suited to a covering centre-half. Mm-hmm. I think Matip's better in the tackle. And when I think about how teams attack Liverpool, you know, you think about that one where they always cut in on Trent and Gomez. Gomez isn't very good tackling in that situation. He's beaten quite easily. Mm-hmm. But if you've got an inverted winger on the other side, you're coming into Joe's right foot, which I think puts him in a better position to be able to make a tackle. I think Matip, with his longer legs, I think he's a better tackler anyway. Mm-hmm. I think he's able to stick that sort of trailing leg out further and almost block that shot or block that cut inside a little better. I just think he's a better tackler as well.
Yeah.
So I actually think that Joe Gomez may up his game for just being in a position that suits him slightly more.
Yeah,
a lot of these decisions might depend on the fitness of the midfield, because we're obviously quite well stocked, but like if Matip or Gomez gets injured, you know, we spoke about before about Fabinho dropping in, or you just mentioned Henderson. But we need, for those to do that, we need Kate to be fit, we need Chamberlain to be fit, we need options in midfield.
Bloody hell, Chamberlain. Yeah.
So we're not taking away those, and then you suffer your defence is sound, but your midfield's a bit fucked because, you know, you're using numbers. We've got abundance of midfielders to use. So it's not as bad as you think. And I think it's a lot of expectation on a Reece Williams or, you know, a Kometio, a young centre-back, to go into the Premier League or Champions League football and go, listen, there's no Matip or Gomez, I know Van Dijk, do what they're doing, because it's an impossible task for them.
Yeah.
It's unfair.
And look, at the moment, you know, I think there's enough there that's not Kometio, Vandenberg, Williams. We shouldn't be seeing them playing games soon. You know, we shouldn't do. There should be enough there between, again, you move Fabinho back if you have to.
Yeah.
You know, ideally, it's just Gomez and Matip, because there's your first two choice centre-halves that are fit. Then you maybe look to bring Fabinho in if you need to. And then you've got a question about whether you want to get the young lads in. But the point on that is exactly the same as the one I've just made about Joe Gomez. Yeah, it's not ideal.
Yeah.
But again, what are you going to do? We're going to forfeit. You can turn around and go, oh, right, I'm sorry, Premier League.
Weren't we knocking on the door asking for null and void at the weekend?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's got to be
just
careful.
Just hand it to Villa now.
Yeah, exactly, I would.
People's fears, I think, have come from last season, as I mentioned, the form that we were kind of in, but also so far this season. So two decisions at the weekend, you lost your best defender, and you always think, like, how much Alisson's injured on top of that as well.
Yeah.
You'd like to think we've used up all our bad luck so far this season, but it doesn't work like that. So people have been fear-mongering, going, well, it'll just get worse, particularly with two centre-halves that are injury-prone. And then, you know, but that could happen to any team in the league.
Well, because it happened. We've seen it. This is now the second time that we've had this. You know, we went, there's a bit of an issue with Liverpool's depth of centre-half, and then we had it when Fabinho starts against Chelsea. And it's like, right, well, Matip and Gomez were injured for that game. Almost the first hurdle after us going, we should really have bought someone there, and we never. and then we get two centre halves injured before the game, and now obviously this has happened. Is that it's there? It's a lingering thing. It's a lingering fear. But I don't know. It's only speculate. Everything beyond this is speculation because you just never know how kids are going to react to things. Same thing as I made a point. I've just done a video on my channel. It's going out today, and
brilliant.
I made the point about, I know, believe it or not. Got a sponsor.
HCV.
Got a sponsor.
Who is it?
One Football. Solid football app. Also sponsored this channel, so it's fine. But not this content, so I can't encourage anyone to do anything. Trent Alexander-Arnold gets chucked in, and no one watching Trent play at Old Trafford thought this kid's going to be the best right back in world football. No one. They just didn't. They thought, oh, good, we've got a solid little player here. He might do all right. And again, that's a once in a generational thing. So the odds of us throwing another lad in, so throwing Kometio in or Williams or whatever, and then going on to be as good as Virgil van Dijk is incredibly unlikely, but it's possible because we've got a good track record of throwing lads in and then being quite good in terms of youth players. So yeah, you just never know. Hopefully Matip's just superhuman for the rest of the season. We'll see. And Mr. Mitt here with the 22 knocks. I said use Van Dijk in a wheelchair would still be great. Yeah, it's positional sense. You don't lose your positional sense just because you can't, you know, run. Yeah, it's fine. Absolutely fine. Right, sad. Thanks everyone for getting involved. If you're here live on YouTube, you can become a YouTube member for all of our future live streams and use our custom emotes in the comments. And you also get the final word show, which this week was the Merseyside Derby. Obviously, it will be Sheffield United next week. One bonus show for people who are club legend and club captain tier members. Thanks so much for that. I hope you do go and pick up the book as well. We've got very limited copies of the special edition with the stickers and the signed edition and all that, so get involved while you still can. Other than that, gents, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure for some really shit depressing topics. I think we've done all right there. But yeah, thanks very much to all of you guys, and we'll see you soon. Sarah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.